Hello, everyone. So, thank you for joining us today. My name is Eric Weaver. I work for the ETC, the Entertainment Technology Center, but I also... You like that?
Yeah. Thank you, Gary.
Appreciate that. So, I've also recently taken another job. I run global strategy for the world's largest storage vendor, which is Western Digital. So, in that role, I'm kind of sitting here today, and it's kind of funny because they came up to me and they said, "Hey, Eric, we'd love to do this event. Let's get involved." And I said, "Okay, just so you know, I am not an expert on physical drives and security. I have been in the field of working with security, and I helped to create the MPAA document. I can work on the first foundational one. But I am definitely not somebody who's going to claim to be an expert on storage devices themselves and security. And my guy who was going to speak bailed on me at the last minute. So I have reached out and found the best mind that I know of here to do this chat. Steve, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Steve Bona. I'm a CEO of Independent Security Evaluators, a security consulting firm. Met Eric a few years ago, and... Happy to be here. Let him ask me some questions about it.
Excellent. So my original introduction to ISD was through the Marvel Group, or not necessarily Marvel Group, Ben and Brandon over there. A couple of people said, you know, you guys need to really see some of the work that they're doing. It's really great. So that's how I met Ted over there and Steve. So Steve, let's just start off. Let's just do a couple questions. And people, you're welcome to jump in or ask questions, or we love opposing views. So if you want to give the feedback, we're good there. What does physical storage security entail?
Sure. So all security generally entails three main concepts. Confidentiality, especially when it comes to the storage. Confidentiality, integrity, and availability. Confidentiality is what you're most familiar with hearing about. Encryption. But you want to protect the data that's stored there so that unauthorized parties can't get access to it. Integrity, which is often overlooked, is the ability for authorized parties to verify that the content on that storage device is what they expect it to be, that it hasn't been modified accidentally or maliciously. And availability is another big aspect of storage security. This is your backups and... making sure that the data is accessible to any authorized parties when immediately as they need it.
So what is the most important thing to understand when it comes to physical storage and security?
I think that context is the most important thing whenever you consider security for any type of, whether it's storage or anything else. Really understanding the context or the threat model of which this particular device exists. So if we're talking about physical storage, you want to know who has access to that storage, where it is, what's on it, who are you afraid of getting access to it, what are the different types of scenarios and workflows that are good. These are the proper workflows, and then the bad workflows, I lost my device kind of things. Context is so important because if you don't really understand why you're doing a particular security measure, you could be wasting resources big time on that. There's the differences between cloud storage and physical storage are enormous. There's so many different attack scenarios and use cases that by just assuming encryption is the way to go, you may pigeonhole yourself and wind up working on security for a solution that doesn't actually help you out in the long run against your particular adversary. So if you could, for instance, encryption is really important and interesting because encryption is one of the few things that is effective 100% of the time or 99.999% of the time against in the appropriate use case, whereas most other security measures are not 100% effective. They will have vulnerabilities and bad guys can subvert them, but encryption is one of those things where it will work. If you use it correctly in the right case, it will do its job. the thing is, people often then say, okay, well, I'll just use encryption. Encryption is the most important thing I can do. And in those use cases, it is. But if you have 20 different security measures you could implement, and you decide to focus your time on encryption, which is 100% effective, it might only be effective in 10% of the cases that you care about. In case of physical storage, encryption is good if you're going to lose a drive or suspect you might lose one or somebody might physically steal something. But it's not going to prevent malware from reading that disk once the drive is booted and mounted and that sort of thing. So I think really for any type of security, understanding the context is the most important part. And so you have to know the context of whatever physical storage is and know which aspect.
So I'm going to kind of deviate a little bit on the encryption question here. I'm a big fan of cloud. That's where I kind of come from background-wise. How do you see some of these hybrid environments with encryption? What is important to understand within some kind of hybrid environment of the cloud to the ground and how you manage some of that encryption?
Well, again, you have to figure out who is the bad guy in this particular scenario. If ever you're going to have data stored on physical devices that people carry on their persons, encryption is a must. It really has to be encrypted. You never want to have unencrypted drives that you're going to leave on the train or something like that and anybody can pick up. But when it comes to the cloud, encryption in some ways doesn't make a whole lot of sense for data at rest encryption. It does make sense if you don't trust the data center. And so in your context, you have to determine whether or not you trust the data center or the employees at the data center, both trust that they won't act maliciously or trust that they have done their job in securing the premises. But once data is locked away in a data center with people you trust, encrypting that data isn't going to have an effect in the context of the adversaries that you face. If somebody were to break into the data center and steal it, yeah, you would have rather had it encrypted at that point, but that's an incredibly unlikely scenario versus losing it on the train. So, but you have to do both across the board.
In an effort to maintain confidentiality in data, are there any other alternatives to encryption?
Yep. So, encryption is going to be, like I said, it's 100% effective in the use case that you that is appropriate. Some use cases where it's not effective are where coercion or access to keys, physical tampering, and that sort of thing are possible by the adversary. So in those cases, there's some other things you can do. And I'm not advocating these other things in place of encryption because they're not strong security solutions like encryption is. But obfuscation, you see that a lot with, that is the hiding of data. So it doesn't apply so much to this industry, but if you wanted to hide small pieces of data, you could hide it in steganographic ways. But there's some encryption solutions offer ways to create hidden partitions and that sort of thing. Still want them encrypted, but in addition to encryption, they're also hidden. So if your device was stolen, the bad guys wouldn't, they could see, here's the data, oh look, it's encrypted. And even if they were somehow able to get access to those keys, they supposedly wouldn't recognize it's a hidden partition. But that's the context there is if you're afraid of law enforcement or probably nation state actors, if you're going through customs and you don't want somebody who looks at your machine to see it. It's probably not applicable to most people in this room, but hopefully not. But there's obfuscation. Another one is data sharing or information dispersal. This is a technique where you take one source of data and divide it across multiple storage devices with the anticipation that you can only recover that data when you've gotten all of those different storage devices. So using this physical separation, you can... But these techniques are based in encryption anyway. Yeah. But the idea is rather than relying on the secrecy of the key, you rely on the physical distribution of the data.
Almost like an object store, to some extent. You just get all the bits.
It's more like having two people turn a key at the same time on the nuclear sub. But.
Are there different types of disks encryption that are better or worse than others?
Yes. And it depends on context again, but a couple things to keep in mind. When you encrypt your laptop or your cell phone, you might find that there's very different quality in the encryption that's used. Full disk encryption or full disk encryption is what you want. This takes everything, every bit on that device or on that drive is encrypted. File level and folder level encryption schemes don't work as well. So if you have an encrypted PDF, you may feel like, okay, that's safe data, I can view it. Then when I'm not viewing it, that PDF is unrecoverable. But the operating system itself may have swapped that PDF to disk, it may have cached it somewhere. And in those cases, the cached data of that PDF file may not be encrypted. And it probably wouldn't be in a folder or file level encryption system. Which I don't quote me on it, but I think Android uses file and folder level encryption, not full disk encryption. Microsoft has BitLocker, which is full disk encryption, and encrypted file system, which is not. So if you were using EFS, which is their, this is the one where if you've ever used it, it's in the professional versions. It turns the text from black to green on the folders. That's not as powerful as BitLocker. So yeah, you can choose poorly in decisions for it.
So how does encryption of data at rest differ between physical storage and cloud storage? Because I got to pull you back to cloud. All
right. Well, like I said, it has to do with your choices and available resources. If you're going to devote all of your attention to encryption all the time, it's not going to be as important in the cloud as defending those servers and systems that are out there. Defending them at the application level is more important than the disk level in the cloud environment. In the physical environment, defending things at the disk level it depends on how often you travel. It'll be on a case-by-case basis, but that's where you would want to focus more on encryption of the data.
So I get a lot of pushback from archivists around this, being terrified of losing their keys and other things. Do you have any strategies around that? Any of this?
For no reason. Well,
I was a little off topic there, but I get a lot of them saying I'm terrified of
this. It's very much on topic because encryption, the hardest part is key management. And it's the reason that people use encryption wrong or it costs so much for them to do, it's because they have to manage the keys. If you lose the key, you've lost all of your data. So how do you share a key with somebody who you may not always trust? Well, in some schemes, if it's a symmetric key, where we both have the same key, if Eric and I have the same key, and then I go rogue, he can't just disable that one key in most encryption systems. He has to re-encrypt all of his data. So coming up with implementing enterprise-level encryption for things, whether it's storage or access, is very difficult. But there's ways to store keys that shouldn't write them down, put them on, make a password on your monitor, but there's software like LastPass and things like that I believe work pretty well, especially if you don't give them all the information. There's some tricks you can do. If you don't know what LastPass is, it's this app or website that allows you access to all of your other websites. It stores your passwords for you. And while that sounds dangerous, it is, and you should be wary of giving all of your passwords to one other organization, but you can still keep mental passwords for some of them. So when you have, let's say you store an incredibly complex password and dump it in the LastPass, remember that every time you use that incredibly complex password, you're going to still append your memorized portion to it. So they don't actually have your whole password. They just have the part that you're never going to remember anyway, the 20 random characters that was never going to happen in memory.
Very interesting. So your organization's been kind of involved in some of the White Hat hacker stuff. I mean, what have you seen recently that you think is actually pretty interesting or... Well, I don't want to say fearful because there's way too much, but anything that you've seen that's quite curious.
I don't want to take this political, but I guess one interesting thing is that whether you were Republican or Democrat or anyone else, the, all of the nominees or all of the people who have been in charge of defense agencies in our country lately are pretty anti-encryption, which is problematic. The new guy who has been recommended has said some things like, if you're using encryption, you're probably a terrorist anyway. You know, there's a big misunderstanding, I think, by government in how encryption is used. And this didn't become a big deal until a couple years ago. I think when the San Bernardino events happened, if you remember, they were trying to get Apple to release backdoors and things like that. And around that time, government decided, okay, well, we just got to eliminate encryption, start putting safeguards in place that so that normal people, businesses can't encrypt what they want. Oh, well, we're okay as long as they give us all the keys too, which is like not the, you know, it's why encryption is, it's meant to not have those sorts of issues. But I think right now that's what's related to what we were talking about at least is something that's happening that's kind of interesting. I don't know which way it's going to go. I kind of figured you can't stop people from writing open source software, so I'm not too worried about it. But
so, how scared should I be of making someone like you mad, though?
I don't think you should be scared of me. I'm not going to do anything too malicious. But it's not very difficult these days to launch attacks. It probably wouldn't be hard to find your devices and things like that if you have sensitive data on them to steal them from you. Those attacks happen more and more frequently. People don't, in an enterprise environment, they are nowadays understanding that more, that there's social aspects to hacking. Because as soon as you build thicker and thicker walls, people just find out ways to walk around the walls. And they're going to do it through social engineering and things like that. And getting access to your home computer is as easy as sometimes purchasing malware online and coercing or tricking you into downloading it and running it somehow. So you don't have to be an experienced hacker to do a lot of the things to get access to your data.
Didn't you guys publish a report that all Wi-Fi networks aren't secure?
Sort of. It had to do with routers. It was Wi-Fi routers. But yeah, we looked at 13 different wireless routers just to see what's the state of the industry. All the consumers are buying these things. You know, are they doing any good? And let's focus on this. Well, out of 13, all 13 of them were easily smashed to pieces security-wise. It was horrific. There was built-in backdoors to these things that I don't think that the companies knew about. Where in the code it would say, "This is the backdoor." All you have to do is search for the word backdoor on this and you find it. So, and you know we were the ones finding that silly vulnerability, but yeah, those are. Most consumer products are just riddled with vulnerabilities. And a lot of enterprise products, too. But the consumer-grade ones have a different level of carelessness, I think, personally.
Well, we've got one of the foremost experts on cybersecurity here. Has anybody got questions for him? Your hand was up first.
Sorry. Hi. Pauline, Technicolor. We've worked with IC previously, but my question is more general across media entertainment. Some of the issues that we run up with building anything into cloud, so any sort of engagement with like pipeline and cloud efforts happening in London, for example, we run into issues where content providers who would want us to help work on content don't want us to know what content we're touching, which is great. I don't want to know. That's less liability for me. But then you have, let's just say, cloud providers who may not give granular enough control for you, so you can either view, edit, or own something.
Right.
Which how should we approach at an enterprise level wanting to give more granular access to the administration of storage, but not necessarily viewing, editing, or owning anything in terms of content?
Okay. It's really going to depend on who you're working with. I think in a lot of cases, you're stuck developing your own applications that are going to suit your needs. The big cloud providers out there give you sort of generic ways of doing a lot of this stuff. Depending on the multiple groups that you want and the different levels of access, I don't know of any that are so flexible to allow every organization that they might work with do that sort of thing. So you'd have to build your own applications on top of it today. But there's another issue that I probably should have mentioned when it came to cloud storage and disk anyway. You don't always, and there are plenty of cases where you don't trust the cloud provider. In situations where you have billion-dollar assets, like in this industry, it's not that you think those companies are going to do something malicious, but they do have a lot of employees. And where I said it's not so easy to walk into a data center and steal something, it's not. But when you're talking about a billion-dollar asset of some kind, the stakes are a lot higher, too. So there are systems where you can, it's called zero-knowledge encryption, where you can maintain access to all the keys, the storage provider does not have access to them, and you can, they won't be able to see any of the data you put there, but you also then can't operate it on there. Because most of these providers also provide computing power as well, and as soon as you need to allow them to do those computations, you need to give them access to the data, because in theory, there are encryption schemes that work. It's called homomorphic encryption, where you can process the data without viewing the data, but they're impractical in today's use.
Steve?
What were your thoughts on using blockchain for security and media entertainment?
I was just thinking about this last night for I think the first time.
Really?
So, wow. Yeah. I don't know... what would be the best use case for it, and whether or not it would make sense in the blockchain? So, do you want to?
Yeah, I saw the Verizon put a patent together on digital rights management blockchain. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I mean, blockchain provides some interesting elements to ownership of data through some distributed model, and to be able to revoke that ownership through a blockchain of some kind would be interesting. I don't know if you can protect content that well using blockchain. You could probably manage the rights, but whether or not you could actually use it to prevent somebody from extracting that content is out of the scope of what a blockchain would provide. So it's like DRM works to hinder the bad guy or the thief's ability to extract the data, but it can never be 100% effective at it. So blockchain might make interesting ways in which, as like a community, you can sort of manage those digital rights, but as far as actually protecting the data itself, I don't know how far it can go. But I also, like I said, I've only been thinking about this since last night. It never occurred to me to use blockchain.
How did that come up just out of curiosity?
Somebody mentioned it last night at the CBSA advisory.
That's right, that's right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, start thinking about it. So, sorry, I did not come prepared as the expert on this.
All right, any other questions out there?
I'll ask one. Regarding the encryption at rest, a lot of workflows, they will maybe receive a piece of content that's encrypted and deliver it as encrypted, but the workflow in between where the content is getting edited and processed tends to be on an unencrypted form. And obviously that's the point where you have a breach, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular process that you're looking at recommending to keep that content encrypted as it goes through the content supply chain?
Well, like I mentioned a minute ago, anytime you want to operate on the data, you have to decrypt it these days. There's very few encryption schemes that allow you to modify the data in a useful way, like a scalable way.
Let me add on to that too, right? The issue also is there's a lot of applications typically that go through the process, and that means a decryption and a re-encryption mm-hmm. cycle. A lot of applications don't necessarily have the capability to either decrypt it or re-crypt it, or it's something you have to customize or custom development. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of curious if you've seen that or if there's another way to process that.
Well, I haven't seen anything that is an advancement in decrypting constantly, modifying, and then re-encrypting. There's specialized hardware and things like that that can make those processes faster. Using things like whole disk encryption, it depends on your context and your where the editing is happening. But as data is encrypted, or as data is used, it will be entirely handled by the operating system, excuse me. But it's slower. And encryption makes things slow, and in this industry, it's sort of, especially when it comes to things like rendering, the computational power, it's so intense, it takes so long, that if you're going to add 10% overhead to do something like that, it becomes cost prohibitive. So, yeah, I don't have a good answer for that. I just don't think there's probably a solution to your exact need today.
Well, it seems like we've run about out of time. I would suggest if you get an opportunity to pick his brain, there's a great brain to pick. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.